always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this? And we're live. Welcome, everybody, here to the Lakers Lounge Podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider for Clutch Point. Nope. Wow. That I haven't been there in a long time.
That's what this game did to you, huh? turn back the clock somehow. Game was so long.
I am a Senior Lakers Insider and lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined by my fellow Offside Lakers creator, Raj Topalu, on this fine Sunday night, a night that featured quite possibly the dumbest basketball game I think we will ever see. What do you think, Raj?
Yeah, I mean, usually you can't really blame one player for a loss, right? Like, you can go to a specific play and go, yeah, this guy, if he didn't, like Marcus Smart's pass behind the back to Vanderbilt directly led to like a 30-10 run or whatever it is. Yeah. But you can't directly go Marcus Smart is the reason the Lakers decided not to play any winning basketball down the stretch. I think you can absolutely say if Dylan Brooks doesn't just go up and body check LeBron after hitting the go-ahead three, I think the Lakers lose. Suns have all the momentum. Lakers, I don't think we're going to call a timeout right there. And yeah, Dylan Brooks gets kicked out, which like, that play happens a million times through a game, right? Someone scores and then just goes and picks up full court because they're excited or they just made a great offensive play. But Dylan Brooks has to read the situation, and I think he directly caused his team to lose from that play.
I would take it a step further, and it wasn't just that play, right? Like, I thought whenever Brooks was available to play, the Suns looked like the better team, right? Mm-hmm. Like, whenever he was available, and I mean, yeah, there was obviously some other Dylan Brooks moments and stuff like that, but he got himself into foul trouble. He picked up a dumb tee earlier in the game. He picks up that second tee there. Like, not just that play cost, you know, that's going to be like the icing on the cake that ended the game essentially. Because from there, they basically had to hope that the Lakers missed free throws, which they did. LeBron, never, ever, ever take technical foul. Like, I think LeBron is a top two player ever, and I think he has a real argument for one. He's the best basketball player I have ever seen for most of my life, right? Because Jordan was a little ahead of my time, before my time. All of that said, LeBron is not good at free throws in fourth quarters. And him taking that technical foul, like, he stepped to the line, like, he's missing this. Of course he's missing this. And I knew for, like, I was willing to put, like, Rui Hachimura was saying, like, he was willing to put 500K on black, right? If they won the net. I was willing to put 500K on LeBron missing one of those three free throws. One of those three free throws.
Yeah.
You know, like, LeBron, don't take that tech. But anyway, like, the Dylan Brooks thing, and this is the reason I'm hesitant to trade anything of value for Dylan Brooks, because I don't know that he can turn that off at this point in his life, right? Let me see how old Brooks is.
He's like 30.
Dylan Brooks is 29. He turns 30 in late January, so he's right there. And you can make the argument that, like, at this point in his life, maybe he's just never going to get it. But he could cost whoever trades for him a playoff game. You know,
yeah.
Like, he has cost Memphis back when he was on that team, you know, a couple playoff games because he talked all that shit and then shelled up and then the Lakers won and he stopped talking. Like, he was a big, like, the Grizzlies literally announced to everybody, yeah, we aren't signing this guy.
It was a mistake. I think it was a mistake by them, honestly.
It totally was. But this is the game that I, like, because Pete and I have been talking about Dylan Brooks off and on all year. about, like, you know, I think he sent the phrase, I would run around my neighborhood naked if we traded for Dylan Brooks. And yeah. I just don't think Dylan Brooks is worthy of running around naked. But, like, the reason that I am even a little bit hesitant to trade for this guy is because of the nonsense that he pulled in this game. He just couldn't stop. And you could tell the rest of his teammates were like, Dylan, fucking cut it out. Stop, dude. And he just would not do it. So, and that play you're talking about, that was like the final play. That was it that officially, you know, cost him. But I would point back even further, and I would say the entirety of that game, the stupid foul trouble, he probably could have fouled out in the first half. The dumb fouls that he was committing, the technical that he committed. By the way, he should have been thrown out earlier when the referee said, like, oh yeah, that wasn't on purpose. Go fuck yourselves. I thought it was a really poorly refereed game, but like, that was a T. He should have been thrown out for that. And if he was thrown out for that, I don't think they make their comeback without Dylan Brooks back in the lineup. He was a plus 12 in a game that the Suns were down by 20 in and only lost by a few points. Like, this was all on Dylan Brooks. And look, I'm not complaining because the Lakers won, but like, when we're talking about like potential targets for the Lakers starting small forward spot here moving forward, this is the game that I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I want to introduce this to the chemistry that has been such a strength of the Lakers to this point.
I think that's fair. I think Dylan Brooks eventually nets out as a positive, right? You get nights like this for sure. I always say with these type of players, I'd rather it be this way than the opposite. I'd rather have to rein you back in rather than having to rev you up. I don't blame, like, Dylan Brooks is going to be Dylan Brooks, right? I don't blame Dylan Brooks for being himself. This is on the referees. Like, they allowed all the extracurricular stuff.
It is really poorly refereed.
Going on. Like, to review that play where Dylan Brooks throws the ball off LeBron as just a in a vacuum type one incidental. Thing incident. Yeah, incidental contact was an insane decision to come up with. And I think that's what kind of allowed this extra physicality.
You know, my favorite moment, Raj, was when they reviewed like, cause I'm guessing you watched the Spectrum feed too. So I was watching it. I was watching the Spectrum feed, and I don't know if this was a Spectrum choice, like if this was a choice that was made in there, you know, by their production crew. If so, well done. But as that like, you know, shaved head referee was making the announcement that you know, it was incidental contact. It didn't impact the play. Any contact from behind the play didn't impact the play. And then you look and it's Devin Booker with a whole handful of jersey. It's like, I'm sorry, man. I have never had my whole ass jersey ripped like that and had it not impact what I'm doing on a play. But yeah, I thought it was really poorly refereed on both sides. I saw people who cover the Suns were complaining about it too. I think both teams had gripes over the refereeing. And the biggest thing to me was like, they just didn't seem to understand any of the people that they were refereeing.
Right.
You know, they walked into this game completely blind. Who is this Dylan Brooks that you speak of? It was a really weirdly officiated game.
Yeah. And look, I was the most upset I've ever seen LeBron get. I mean, he's been a Laker for X amount of years now. He's had battles with Dylan Brooks, but I've never seen him blow up like that in the, you know, timelines. Like, why is he getting mad at a little ball getting thrown at him? It's like, this has been adding up since the first quarter. Him and Brooks have been going at it. So yeah, but again, just going back to Dylan Brooks, I think this is the two-sided sword that players like him, Draymond, they don't become Dylan Brooks without having all this, you know, extra motivation that they create for themselves. He obviously sees LeBron as someone he has to go at and have a personal matchup with. And to be honest, again, he almost was right. I mean, all the antics and all that stuff, in my opinion, all led to him hitting this. All this energy that pent up led to him taking the chance of game winning three that he eventually hit.
Should have been game winning.
Yeah. And I think he was so excited. He just saw LeBron and went, I'm getting one last bump in before, you know, I have to guard you. But he definitely, I think, was the fault here for the Suns losing. But again, the Suns don't have this good of a season without him being this guy. Like, he brings an edge that every other player on that team has adopted, even Booker to an extent, but like Colin Gillespie, like all those guys have kind of adopted his edge. And I still think that dude is super valuable especially when he's on your team. Now, when you're playing against him, it's super annoying, and he can have stuff like this. But I'm still higher on Dylan Brooks just in general as a guy if you can add him, because I think his on-ball defense is still fantastic when he's locked in. But if you have the right vets around, I think there's a way to get a ton out of him. But yeah, he cost his team a game for sure, which it was funny because Stu Lance was like, why are they cheering him when he's getting kicked out? He's causing the loss. I was like, well, Stu, he kind of hit the big three. He's kind of the reason they're also in this position, but it makes sense. It's his fault they lost this one.
It's one of those things where, like, I could totally see Brooks arriving at the right situation, like you said, with the right veterans, all that stuff. But the thing is, like, Brooks is also a veteran. Again, he's about to turn 30. He's been in the league for a long time. Sure. You know, and it's like if he gets to, let's just say in this case, the Lakers, right? And like, you know, pulls this shit again. LeBron's not the kind of leader who, like, grabs a guy by the jersey and says, like, enough, dude. You know, he's a lot more passive aggressive than aggressive aggressive. Luka's a lot more kind of go along to get along. Austin won't really say anything. Like, I don't know. I like Dylan. Like, he's just the basketball player, Dylan Brooks. Like, if this was 2K and I didn't have to care about the human being, Dylan Brooks, I'd be totally fine with it. But this is just such a brutal game. Like, this is a terrible look for Dylan Brooks. And by the way, like, this is a win that Dylan Brooks turned into a loss. The Phoenix Suns, like, if you look at the standings, right, like, they are going to need every single win that they can possibly get over the course of the season. And he is single-handedly responsible for turning a win, which, by the way, they only would have won in large part because of him. But like, because you're absolutely right. Like, I do think he's had a real meaningful impact on their culture. All that stuff is also true. But this specific game is a win, would have otherwise been a win, that he single-handedly turned into a loss. And I don't need him turning a win into a loss in the playoffs on a team that's much better.
That's totally fair. I think he also had an awesome impact in Houston, right? And hey, they turned him into Kevin Durant.
He's won everywhere.
Right? And what stood out today, and you've been preaching this, the starting lineup needs a change, right? And that's, you've been preaching it from a basketball sense. Starting lineup needs some, like, meanness in it, you know, in, like, yeah, just, like, you see Marcus Smart comes in and just gives it. And Marcus, to me, is not, at least his health has shown to me just so far, judging it, he just can't be relied on for that for long stretches. Dylan Brooks is usually healthy, I believe. Mm-hmm. And, you know, again, just bring some meanness and some tenacity and some, like, the Lakers starters are the most talented five on the roster, but, like, that end of the quarter, their combined talents create some bad habits. It's a slow team. It's a very deliberate team. Luka and LeBron, their kind of intentionality on offense combined becomes like a very slow, let me cook the clock for 15 seconds before we do something. And I kind of like how Dylan Brooks catches and goes, nah, I have a guy behind me, I'm attacking. And Marcus Smart did some of that and got blocked. Marcus Smart, by the way, like, just too absolutely, absolutely very lucky he's not the guy we're talking about here on the other side of this, you know? So maybe to your point, having two guys of that much volatility can be dangerous. But no, again, Dylan Brooks caused his team tonight. Again, I think it nets out positive eventually. And again, a guy I wouldn't run around my, you know, house without clothes on if we got Dylan Brooks, but would still be excited if he got on the team.
Damn, there's a report out right now that Rob Reiner, there's no chance that you know who Rob Reiner is, but there's a report out here that he and his wife were murdered by their son.
Oh, wow. I don't know who they are, but I did see the report of them being caught or being found, I guess.
Legitimately one of, like, the most brilliant comedic minds of all time. Like legitimately, he's in, like, comedy Mount Rushmore in terms of, really? Like, his impact on pop culture. Man, that would freak it out. That really sucks.
Yeah, there was, like, knife wounds, right? I think is what I saw, or something like that.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and segue awkwardly to, but yeah, I want to talk about, yeah, you mentioned, you know, the need for umph with that starting five. And I just think, honestly, it extends beyond the starting five, because I think a starting group tends to set a tone for how the rest of the team plays. And I have thought that the Lakers, they score so easily in the half court. And I think they're like a top three, if not higher than that, maybe top two even, half court offense in the league so far this year. And when you score that easily in the half court, I think, like you said, that it can lead to some bad habits, some complacency elsewhere on the court, because you're like, yeah, all right, we can give up this bucket because we know we can get buckets on the other side. And I think that, you know, when it injecting Smart or even Laravia, honestly, like I thought Laravia was super active in this game. Like if awesome. JJ is really, really, you know, shooting conscientious, which we know he is. My thing is it just can't be Rui. Like, honestly, we're at the point here where it's like you can make a real argument for anybody but Rui. You want to go double big with Jackson and DeAndre Ayton? Fuck it. Let's give that a go.
Oh, you don't
you want to go? I'm kidding. But like,
you went way over the line. Let's back up.
I wanted to see your face. Whoa, 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 whoa.
I get carried away.
I was like, physically pushed himself
right
away from
no,
the camera.
No, we're not doing that.
But no, I like I'm at the point here where like you could make I think Laravia makes more sense. I think Vando makes more sense. I would be willing to listen to you if you said Diero makes more sense. Oof. I think Marcus Smart makes a lot of sense. I'm just concerned about his body holding up.
Yeah.
To me, I think the most likely candidate here is probably Laravia, because we know how much JJ Redick cares about shooting. But no matter what it is, like I'm sorry, Rui is had his chance, and I just can't watch that team be that slow. And
yeah,
like it's one thing to be methodical offensively, and I think there's benefits to it. I think like it wouldn't surprise me if that team closed games in a game that they just, you know, they wanted to lean offense and they wanted to, you know, like late game situations. The Lakers have been really good in the clutch so far this year, right? Wouldn't surprise me if they wanted to go to that group to close out a game, and in a game that you can just trade buckets, go with that group, right? Because you know, at the very least, you're probably going to trade buckets. But what you cannot do is start games absolutely hemorrhaging points in the ways that the Lakers have hemorrhaged points with that starting group. And like I watched today's starters, right? Austin was out with the calf strain. Is it calf or groin?
I forget. Mild calf strain. Yeah.
Yeah. So Austin's out and they put Smart in for him and they started the game with like two or three stops in a row. And I was like, whoa, you can do that? Like that's legal? How about that? And what it made me think of was a couple of things. One, JJ Redick has basically said, all right, I want to equip LeBron, Luka, Austin with as many offensive weapons around them so that offense is as easy on those guys as possible. And I just disagree with the approach. Like, I actually think you should do the opposite thing where it's like, I would rather give them athletes, even if it hurts your spacing, because what's the point of employing all three of those guys if they can't keep your offense afloat? Right. And so like, that was my first takeaway. And my second takeaway was with the starting group, as we've known it for most of the year, being so bad defensively, it means that they're always taking the ball out of the rim, which means they're right. always playing against a defense that is fully set up and ready for them and all that stuff. So the margin for error that group is working with is so small. And that's why they have really been bad so far this year. Like I would venture a guess that the Lakers starting five is probably a bottom five starting five statistically in the sport right now.
Yeah. And yeah, it's a terrible five.
Yeah.
Numbers wise.
Yeah. And so like, I just, when I watched Smart in there and then I watched Vando come in, cause I thought Smart kind of set the tone at the beginning of the game. And then Vando came in and like, he was like, oh, those are the songs we're playing. All right. Like he was, and I just like that's the tone and tenor of the supporting cast that I think Luka and Austin and LeBron are going to benefit most from.
Yeah. I think it's easy, obviously the defense is loud, right? The getting beat off the dribble. But to your point, I think the offense has been much more. It's because you look at the names, you go Luka, Austin, right? LeBron, Ayton. Like these are guys that you expect to get it going offensively. Anthony, they have a 107 offensive rating together coming in and just news that would be worst in the league by a far margin. Indiana, I think, is 30th in offense. They're like 108. That's one of the worst offenses in the league, and they just cannot score. Now, I understand you want to – I think you've been on the bench Rui train for a very long time. I think the point you made about Dylan Brooks, about this being a human thing, I think it's – again, I think you have to have some cause for reason for benching Rui, right? And I think as the wins continue, I think the Lakers' floor, again, will be too high for a move like this to come, at least right now.
But they hadn't been losing. Recently, they dropped 3 of 5.
Smart gets
in there tonight, and they win tonight. You know, like, and again, I just don't think J.J. Redick is your typical NBA coach in that I think he does see the lineup data. I think he does.
Of course.
For one thing, we know he's very online. And all the podcasts, all the beat reporters, everybody in Lakers Twitter is saying this needs to change. So unless he's like super duper stubborn, like I he's hearing the chatter, he sees the stats, and they'd lost 3 of 5 recently. Like I think that is enough.